asses keep happening!
So we have yet another Disney live-action remake that we did not ask for, and this one has been steeped in controversy, from race swapping to new songs that are questionable. But I decided to watch the new Little Mermaid and the old, and now I'm here to review it. Let's talk about it. Guys, before we get into this movie review, please like and subscribe. I want as many people to find this channel as possible so you know what to do. Now, let's get into the 2023 version of The Little Mermaid. I decided to watch this in theaters and then subsequent to that, watch the original to compare the two. Now, I'm going to break this down into four categories and we're going to give this movie a score. And at the end, we're going to see if that score matches up with Rotten Tomatoes. So stick around. My four categories are music, visuals, acting and storyline, and whether or not this movie is anti-woke. And each of these categories is going to have 25 points, which we will add it all up at the end. Let's start off with music. We have actress Halle Bailey, who is taking on the lead role of Ariel. Halle Bailey put in a very great performance as far as music and vocals in this movie. She smashed Part of Your World. She even smashed some of the newer songs that were written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. May not have been the strongest music, but her vocals speak for themselves. So we're given points in the music category. Now, I do have to address the sleep paralysis demon that I now have that is Lin-Manuel Miranda after watching this movie. He's responsible for the new music that was placed in this score. There was a new song for Ariel as well as for Prince Eric, but I don't want to talk about those two. I want to talk about the scuttlebutt. This dreaded song that I think parents are going to be terrorized by with their little kids after leaving the theater, having watched this movie. This song is, I don't even want to say sung, it is rapped by actress Awkwafina, who was tasked with the role of playing Scuttle. And it is one of the, if not the worst, Disney song I have ever heard. And this is coming from somebody who is typically a fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda. I loved In the Heights. I love Hamilton. And this song should be burned and never heard again. So I have to take off many points for that. Also, much of the new music that he wrote for this movie, I felt, did not align with the original music whatsoever. It felt out of place. It felt like this was a new addition and you could clearly tell the modern take versus the original parts of The Little Mermaid. So I have to take off points for that, but more so than anything for Scuttlebutt. So in music, I'm giving it a 15 out of 25. And of course, you can always debate these scores down in the comments down below. If you've seen this movie, let me know what you think. That's just where I stand. Now let's get into the visuals in this movie. If you watched some of the marketing that was placed out for this new version of The Little Mermaid, I was thinking this is going to be dark. The visuals are going to look horrendous. There were shots of the ocean where nothing was floating in the background. And I was pleasantly surprised when I watched this film. The visuals weren't anywhere near as bad as what I was anticipating after looking at the marketing of this movie. But I will say that there wasn't a lot of diversity in some of the landscapes that we watch throughout this film. The ocean, it seemed to me, was really, really lacking. We got the same shade of blue throughout the entire film. They really shined on land when Ariel finally gets her feet, spoiler alert, and is, you know, trouncing around with Prince Eric and they're building their chemistry. Also, the CGI for the mermaids and some of the creatures in this movie was questionable at best. The moment where Ariel is moving up on the rock to sing that final large note in Part of Your World was terrifying. Was it terrifying to anybody else to watch her creep up that rock? I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they just couldn't get the movement right or they didn't have the budget, which would greatly surprise me because they've spent millions upon millions of dollars in the creation of this film. I'm just wondering where it went when it comes to the CGI. It was something that for me was kind of jarring to watch and you had to get used to. The movement was weird, the proportions were weird, and the hyper-realistic animals took some time to get it used to as well. And maybe it's because I'm so accustomed to the original with Flounder and Scuttle and the sharks and the fish and Sebastian, but the hyper-realistic animals I feel really took away from the dynamic characteristics of some of these characters. You really were getting one-note performances, and I don't know whether or not that's blame to be placed on the actors. I'm inclined to believe that it's not blame to be placed on the actors, but in fact on the animation and CGI in this film. So for visuals, I'm giving it, again, a 15 out of 25. Let's move on to acting and storyline. The acting was not giving in this film. As I said before, Halle Bailey was a really strong lead as far as her singing. Her acting left a little bit to be desired. I felt she really shined in this movie when she had scenes in tandem with Prince Eric. They had a chemistry boost that really lifted up the acting, but a lot of what she was giving was one-dimensional in other parts of the film. But this is new to her, so I will give her that. I don't know that her acting chops are quite up to snuff when compared to her vocals, but vocally, she was stunning. As I said before, in the visuals category, none of the acting was as dynamic as you would have seen in the original 1989 version of The Little Mermaid. There was so much more character and color and vibrance to each of the different characters that you see on the screen, and it felt as though they were stripped of a lot of that in this new rendition of the film. Sebastian in particular, who I felt had a really strong voice actor in David Diggs, who did bring something vocally. He had a lot of character. I felt as far as comic relief goes, he was a stunning voice actor in Sebastian, but being in this hyper-realistic crab CGI thing really took away from some of the ins and outs of what he was saying and the emotions that he was putting forward. And again, just like in the music category, major deductions for Awkwafina. And I'm so sorry, Awkwafina, because this just simply was not the role for you and it was given to you. This scuttle was never meant to be made. And it's not even that I'm opposed to Scuttle being a female swap in this film. It just should have never been Awkwafina. It made me cringe to watch the moments where that bird was on screen. The great saving graces, I think, of this film as far as acting is involved were actually Melissa McCarthy as Ursula and Jessica Alexander as Ursula turned into a human, that sort of evil character. These were two, I think, very dynamic performances, although Melissa McCarthy looked bored at certain points in the film. And you know what? I gotta say, Prince Eric didn't really give me much. Again, was great in his scenes with Halle Bailey. I think they had a lot of chemistry, but on his own, was nowhere near as dynamic as the Prince Eric cartoon that we see in the original Little Mermaid. So acting, I'm going even lower, 10 out of 25 points. And last, what we've all been waiting for in the conversations surrounding race and diversity and equity and inclusion and all of these new Disney films that come out, the anti-woke category. Can I give this movie points for being anti-woke? You know what? I was shocked that, in fact, the movie was far less woke than I thought it was going to be. So we can give a round of applause for Disney for making that happen. There were a few things that stuck out to me, and maybe it's because I have a keen eye for checking out these things, and if you took your child to the theater, they wouldn't normally notice this. But King Triton, who is portrayed by Javier Bardem, is Hispanic, and he has a daughter of every race. So I noticed immediately in this film, he's got a white daughter, he's got Halle Bailey, he's got a darker African, it seems, daughter, he's got an Asian daughter, he's got an Indian daughter, and they're all meant to be from the same woman. And I guess they explain this by the fact that the daughters are from different parts of the ocean, but this movie certainly meets its diversity quota. What I will give it points for, they at least tried to explain the diversity. In another plot line, Prince Eric is the son to a black queen, and they explain this by him having been orphaned in a shipwreck, presumably, and being adopted by a black mother. So at least with the diversity, they make notes in the storyline to somehow explain why it is we're seeing what we're seeing. Now, I did notice that in some of the wording and lyrics of the very famous music you have in this movie, they've changed some of the words. In Kiss the Girl, they changed to add a consent part to it, as many leftists have complained that Prince Eric never really asks for consent from Ariel to kiss her, and that the lyrics sort of promote a message to young children that you should just go up and kiss any girl it is that you want to kiss. So they instead put a lyric that says, "Use your words and ask her," which on its face is fine, even though I think the original song was perfect and inoffensive, and it does not really need to be explained, because we can all read the room and we all know that Ariel likes Prince Eric. In fact, they are in love with one another. So I'm just saying, if a man asks to kiss me, it's not working for me, but maybe it works for modern audiences. They've also switched out a few, if not way more, of the lyrics in Poor Unfortunate Souls, that song sung by Ursula. She has a few highly quotable lines, one being, don't forget the importance of body language, that she says to Ariel, that has been swiped from the film and taken away, because of course we don't want to sexually objectify women and they should never use body language to explain and to present themselves as being intrigued by their male partner. They also took out an entire part where Ursula essentially tells Ariel that men are not interested in women who speak. And I'll read just a few of the lines here that were excluded from this film. They're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it if they can. But they dole and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets her man. Now, this was taken out because presumably they don't want young girls to think that if they're quiet and demure that men will like them more, and they want young girls to feel emboldened to speak and to stand for themselves, which is all fine and great. But are we forgetting the context of this situation? Ursula is clearly lying to Ariel when telling her that a man prefers somebody who does not speak. In fact, Eric is constantly throughout this film looking for the girl with her voice. So this is not meant to be something taken literally for young girls to say, oh, I must be quiet for men to like me, and to be an anti-feminist and really stick in my spot of cooking and cleaning as a woman and shutting my mouth. It is in fact meant to be a lie that the evil villainous character is promoting throughout the film. So that was a miss for me, and we must deduct points for that. It's also made very clear through the marketing of this film, and I believe direct words from Halle Bailey, that they decided to take a different route with the story of Ariel and Prince Eric, making it not Ariel's main focus to really find this man to build a family and a life with and to explore the world with, but she is in fact more entranced by the outside world above the ocean than she is with Prince Eric, because we must be a girl boss and no man can stop us from being that girl boss. So Ariel saves Prince Eric throughout this film, not once, but twice. And that heroic moment where Prince Eric drives a ship into the chest of Ursula to save Ariel's life at the end of the original film is taken away and given to Ariel, the girl boss who is never a damsel in distress and always saves herself. And that's where we land. On anti-woke, I am going to deduct 5 points only, because as I said, you could take your kid to the movies, they could watch this film, and they'd think nothing of it. There's no explicit indoctrination, in my opinion, but they did make sure they got those diversity points and edited the script where they felt offended. So I'm giving it a 20 out of 25. And really, those are my main thoughts about The New Little Mermaid. If I've added up my score, it comes to, I believe, 60 out of 100, which puts me just below the reviewer's tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes and far below the audience score of 95%. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I don't regret having gone to the theater and watched it. And if you got young kids, I think they could watch this movie and leave cheery, happy, but hopefully not singing Scuttlebutt. Please, Lord, don't sing the Scuttlebutt. And those are my thoughts. If you watched The Little Mermaid, drop your comments down below. Did you notice the things that I noticed? Am I too picky? Was my score too low? Was it too high? Duke it out in the comments. And as always, do so respectfully. I think I can say with this live action Disney remake that nobody asked for, it wasn't the worst, which is so rare for Disney these days. So this is a win, in my opinion. Guys, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time I post a video for you guys, which is every day. And again, let me know your thoughts. And what's the next Disney live action remake? And is it going to be ruined just like the others?